Blog Talk Radio.
It's a great day to be alive. We're thankful this morning for life, for health, for strength. We're excited to have another opportunity to serve our God, to be all that we were purposed to be. I'm unmuting the lines of those that are here, that are connected. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Don't forget that you are unmuted on my end. If you need to mute on your end for any reason, please feel free to do so. But good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you this morning?
Wonderfully blessed.
Absolutely. That's thankful. Thankful, right?
Yes.
Yes, Lord. Yeah, thankful to be here today. Shabbat shalom to all the believers of the way. It's the Sabbath for us, and so I'm speaking to those manifesting, innovating, creating sons of Yah this morning. There's definitely a divine frequency of warfare that's coming from the sons in this season. The Father downloaded it into us. It's a part of our DNA. It's a part of who we are. And actually, each of us has a particular part of who he is comes. So there is a rebounding, and in that rebounding, a rebounding results because the cry has been heard. So we're excited about the fact that we have angelic agents that work on our behalf. They are messengers for us. They are messengers. They bring us messages and they carry messages into the earth. So we're thankful this morning for all of those who are joining us from all over the world. Thank you for joining us at Kingdom Ambassadors Worldwide for this session of prophetic intercession. And during this time, I want you to understand that there's going to be a hearing, there's going to be a receiving, there's going to be a knowing for the sons to divinely function. And that's the key. You, in order for divine functioning, you have to have divine directions and divine instructions. So this is that time for you to be hearing, for you to press your ear to the very mouth of God. You know, there will not be one ear that will not hear the cry or the roar in this hour. You know, there have been some hours and some times where people have kind of missed some things, but unlike, you know, not unlike in the day when the prophets would go to the people, particularly I can think of one, and this prophet was really adamant. He was really having a whole attitude about his what he had to do. He had an attitude about his assignment, and he was supposed to, Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh. And he decided he wanted to go a different direction. He didn't feel like fooling with them. He wanted to go to Tarshish, where the gorillas were and the pink and the flamingos and the, you know, and the what do you call those? The peacocks. He wanted to go in the place where it was like, you know, tropical. He wanted to go to the place where it was coconuts and, you know, he wanted to kick back. You know, he's gonna pay his own way to go somewhere and chill when the Father had given him an assignment. And so, even though that's not necessarily what we talk about today, somehow the Holy Spirit went there. Don't be in that position where he's telling you to go to Nineveh and you're trying to go to Tarshish, because that's why you keep getting thrown off the boat. You know what I'm saying? That's why these storms keep arising, because the Father's trying to get the attention of his kids in this season. Like, listen, I have an assignment for you, and I need you to go and do the assignment. Anytime there's a lot of warfare, you can bank on the fact that you're either completely doing what the Father told you to do or you're going in the wrong direction. Either way, you're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have to figure it out. This is the era of the rise and the roar of sons. And listen, the portals of grace and glory are open to us. They're open to hear. The earth is open. It's waiting on a manifestation of the sons of Yah. And this is just the moment for you just to become. You know, he gave me this this situation with the word B, you know, the B dot, E dot, you know, and that being, you know, is simply just believing and executing. That's all that it takes to become, is to believe a thing and then to execute the thing that you believe. That's how you become a thing. And so it's really simple, but, you know, religion sometimes makes things so difficult, you know. Jump a few pews, do a few cartwheels, come down and shake the preacher's hand. And I know that sounds exaggerative, but it's nothing short of some of the things that we've been commanded to do in these settings. It's just, it's utterly ridiculous. There are things that the Father is saying, I'm just not asking for that. All I simply want is for you to follow the instructions or the directions that I'm giving you, because that's absolutely the way to good success. He told Joshua, he said, do not let the book of this law depart from your mouth. You don't need to meditate on the things that I say to you. The things that I've given you, I need you to make that your position in the time and in the night. In other words, all along, your focus needs to be what I've called you to, because what you focus on is where you're going. You know, what you focus on is what you're manifesting. What you focus on is what you behold to. What you focus on is where your heart is, and then that's where your treasure is. So if your heart is in a place where there's not much going on, and that's your treasure. It might be a fool's gold. It might be a dummy box, you know, with some toys in it. But at the end of the day, that's all you're going to get, because that's been your focus, you know. So we've got to come into this place of proper identity in this season. And for the next 24 days, it'll be just uncommon victory. You're in your next day movement. You're in a next day movement. 24 days of prayer. We're not counting the weekends, just the days that we come here. So 24 more days we'll be here declaring this thing. It'll probably be longer than that, but who knows? The Father always does what he does the way that he does it. So we cannot. What I can tell you is that for the next 24 days, we'll be right here, you know, doing prayer. I don't know what else the Father wants to do. You know, I don't get stuck, and I don't have no reason for no disclaimers You know what I mean? He just does what he does, and all he's simply requiring of us is to follow the directions that he gives, because that's where the success is, you know? So we're coming into that proper identity, and that's where we're going to acquisition all of the things that the Father has desired for us to acquisition in this era of divine declaration. You're going to definitely have what you say. You're definitely going to have what you say. I'm excited about today's Torah portion. We're definitely going to hear it. I'm not going to read it because, see, when I read myself, I'm tempted to start having a discussion. So what we're going to do today, I want you to make sure that you can in your paper, have something you can write with either online, and you have a question, or you want to, you know, ask something or just make a statement. You can do that in the text box or the chat room or whatever. If you're needing to call in, it's 515-602-9662. You can do that as well. But we're going to take notes, and we're going to come back to the conversation because it has everything to do with what we're already talking about. The Father took me back to the dark psychology of the 10 spies. Now, these are the 10, it was, you know, 12 altogether, but these are the 10 spies that came back out of the 12 with, first of all, a confirmation to what the Father said it was, and then a negative report, you know, that dissuaded the people from going into the land. This is why they went on a 40-year excursion, because they were listening to something other than what the Father had said, something other than what his servants, those that actually were serving sons, those that actually understood the strength of their God and understood that they had already, they saw things right. You know, we were talking about perspective the other day. These two, Jacob and Caleb, they saw it right. You know, they saw it as the Father had spoken it. They saw it as he had said it. And because their perspective was proper, they were preserved for the promise, because they, along with the rest of the cats, had to go back into the wilderness, but they were preserved for the promise. They were much older, of course, at the time they went into the promise. However, they were preserved. And I think it's just a beautiful thing. So we're going to definitely listen to the Torah portion for the day, which is going to be found, which is Devarim, Deuteronomy, which is called Devarim. And that first Torah portion hinges on words. Every system, every relationship, anything you can think of, it's connected to words. So if you think of things like that, and words being frequency, then you'll begin to identify that this is a simple system that you have to just make. You have to define some things. You have to clarify where the words are coming from. Who's having the conversation? I remember the conversation, whose report will you believe, right? Why is that even a question? Because you have the option to believe one report or the other, but you're going to need to choose the report that gives you life. You're going to need to choose the report that the Father has already released for your information. You know, when I thought about that, the report that has been released, I thought about the book of Esther and how that whole story went with Esther and her uncle Mordecai, and how Haman, this wicked right hand of the king, decided he wanted to put some things in place. And because he was the right hand, he had access. He was authorized to do some things. One of the things that he was authorized to do was to put some things in place and even sign it with the signet of the ring of the king. And so he put some things in place to annihilate, to destroy, to kill the Hebrew people. And Esther being one of those who had not revealed her nation, she had not revealed her identity, according to what her uncle told her. He gave her all of the details, how she should carry herself, how she should do what she does or what she was to do. And that's how she got to the place of royalty. But that just goes back to following instructions, right? But nonetheless, this decree that went out at the hands of the wicked one, Haman, when Haman was hanged on the gallows that he created for Mordecai, Esther's uncle, then Mordecai sends Esther in to reveal herself to the king and tell him, you know, who she really is and to save her people. You guys know the story. If I perish, let me perish. You know all of that. I'm not going to go into that. But what I'm trying to get to is this place where Mordecai is promoted. He's promoted, and when he's promoted, he becomes the king's right-hand man. Not only does he become the right hand, but he also has the authority to now issue things. And so when I'm thinking of this, the news, the report, there was a report that went out, and because the king's report or verdict or decree cannot be rescinded, they could not say, okay, just throw that away. Nobody believed that report. Everybody, that's over, because that would look wishy-washy. So Haman's report, even though he was dead, was still in effect. However, the king instructed Mordecai to write his report. My God, he said, you go ahead and write another decree. And Mordecai wrote another decree against the decree of Haman. But what it said in that decree, now the first decree told the people of the land to kill the Hebrews. But what the report said, or what the report that was written by Mordecai, the Hebrew, was to the Hebrews directly, and it was with the king's signature on it. This is what I'm trying to get to. This is so powerful to me. It has the king's signet on it. What it says is for the Hebrews to defend themselves and to kill those that are trying to oppose them, to kill those that are trying to kill them. Now, at first, I'm sure they were in terror and in fear, great fear, because now you got these nations that are against us, that are on this date, it's wartime. They're coming to destroy us. But when that king's signet was on that next decree, it empowered the people to stand for themselves, to stand up, to not bow down. It empowered them. It inspired them to fight. They were no longer afraid because the king said, we're to defend ourselves to the death. We're to defend ourselves until our enemies are annihilated. And it's something about when a king is backing you. You know, that's what these Hebrew children had. They had the king of all kings backing them to go into the place that he had already ordained, preordained for them, promised them, and they could not figure that out. I decree to you today that is not going to be the portion for the sons of Yah. We're going to hear, we're going to adhere, and we're going to go into this place of promise. We've already begun to go into the land. It's small steps, it's small things right now. We're overcoming these small battles in these different places, and we're going to see some of that in the Torah portion today. But we're overcoming these small battles, and why? Because as we're overcoming these things, they're leaving a testimony. It's creating a resume. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your problem is connected to your promise. You're creating a resume of the goodness of your father. You're creating a resume of how you've overcome. A resume is being created that you're still surviving after all that you've been through. There's a resume on file. Instead, what is the father really, what is he really saying? Just follow the direction. Follow the instruction. Because that is how you get to the promised place. I'm going to open up the line and let you guys share whatever you're hearing, whatever you're seeing this morning. Go ahead. You are released to prophesy. You are released to share and to inspire and to encourage and to motivate. That's going to bring some kind of transformating sequence into people. Go ahead and talk to them this morning and let them hear your voice. Don't leave it blank too long, y'all. It's live radio. Good morning. Come on in and share. Be ye also ready. Also.
Amen, amen. Well, I'm just thankful that we're, that we're here and we're able to come into this place and be free. And hear, the word of Yah, and to understand that the atmosphere where we came from is not the atmosphere that we're in right now. And I'm thankful that we are moving forward in all of this, and learning from a totally different perspective. And a perspective that's letting you know that, as you said, with the decree of the king, we have a decree from our king that we are free too. We are free from those bondages that had bound before that, of the old thinking. You know,
yes,
we're getting a new perspective from a maturity level that we've arrived to because we left an environment, actually.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Sometimes people want you to stay in an environment and you can't grow in those environments because you already have reached the climax of your growth in those places. And when we decide to stay in a place, when we've maximized our growth, then, you know, usually chaos will come to push you out.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of a bird and how the birds do the babies. Once they get to a certain maturity level, they you know, they push the birds out the nest so that they can fly and go on and learn to do, you know, learn to be self-reliant.
Yes.
So I just felt that out of what you were saying for right now, because it's a maturity level that's coming with what is required of us right now.
Yes.
We have to be able to sit down and it's a scripture. Sit down and sup with me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so we can discuss the word. We can discuss, you know, have a mature conversation.
I'm thinking of the scriptures. There's a sup with me and I will sup with you, but I think you're talking about come at us reason together.
You were breaking up.
I said, I think you're thinking of two scriptures at the same time. There's a sup with me and I will sup with you, but there's also a come let us reason together.
Right, those two together. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times what we do is that we come together, you know, most times when we have deeper conversations, you know, when getting to know each other, we usually do it over dinner. We usually do it over eating, you know.
Yeah. That's a fact.
And so that was
stopping scriptures and revelations and Isaiah's to come let us reason again. Isaiah chapter 1.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
So that's where I am. Come on, let's stop and let's reason.
Hello. Yeah. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Prophet Vontina, you have anything you want to share this morning? Hallelujah. Yeah, that's good stuff. Thank you, sir.
Not at the moment. I don't.
Oh, okay. All right. Good deal. Good morning, Elder.
Good morning.
How are
good
you?
Good morning, everybody.
Good
great
morning.
Thank you, sirs.
Amen.
I want to piggyback on what you were saying as instructions.
Yeah.
Even the fact that Esther followed instructions, I'm a living witness from following instructions where the Father brought me right on through a situation in my life. I shared it a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, I've been given other instructions that I moved on, and I'm in a spot like the Hebrews when they was going through the wilderness, even though they
mm-hmm.
was going and following, they didn't know what was ahead of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I'm at. From following instructions, I just declined some of my days at my job, not knowing what's ahead of me, but I'm just following on a daily basis. Even today, I need to go downstairs when I get off the line and talk to the people where I live at. But beyond that, I'm not even sure of what's ahead of me. But what I do know is that I'm not walking alone. As long as the Father walks with me and I continue to let the Holy Spirit lead me, I know from my past experiences in doing that and being led that I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
So it's so imp- important, so important. And even if you look through other scriptures, what happens when you follow instructions. And not just that, looking at our own lives, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that the Father has used and given instructions, and we use them and look at where we're at from following them. Opposed to even, I remember Prophet Joy used to always come from a different angle. Look at all of our lives and when we don't follow or haven't followed, and even our children, when we give our children instructions to do things, and they may start and they may stop and they may start and they may stop. And I encourage a lot of people that I know that I talk to that just do a journal of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see times when your life is spiraling upward, look at that journal.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at the other journals when you see it spiraling down. Not saying that we're not going to go through obstacles and changes.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's necessary as well in life. But when you just continuously be disobedient, you'll see it in your walk. And you'll see a difference in how your life is. So that's what, just from what all you were saying, that's where the Holy Spirit took me to different situations with myself and following. And even people that I know where, you know, suggestions have been given, and they chose to do it their way. At the end of the day, we all going to come back to how he wants it, because the word says, and I can't even tell you where that, he said, but every knee shall bend and every tongue will confess. So at the end of the day, that it's going to come to how the Father wants it anyway.
That's good.
That's
yes,
what I got from it.
Ooh, every knee going to bend. Do you hear me? Every one of them. Every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Funny that you mentioned that scripture that talks about the way of the transgressor is hard. It starts out with good understanding wins favor. You get favor from coming into a place of understanding. But the way of the unfaithful is another translation. The way of the unfaithful is hard, like barren dry soil. You know, it says good sense wins favor. You know, when you just operate in a place. Where you just walking through a place knowing that you need to understand. You're not just frivolously doing stuff. You're not just presuming things. You're not just presuming things, but you are actually walking a place of understanding intentionally to understand. You know, that's what the favor is. It says, but the way of transgressors are. Now, what is transgression? Transgression simply not following a system. Now, one of the things that the Father was talking to me about yesterday, he was talking about, and he made this statement, he said, from the garden to the woods, out of the garden into the woods. This was, you know, the way of Adam and his wife, you know, out of the garden into the woods. How do you get out of the garden into the woods? Because there are systems of success, systems to follow. There are systems of obedience, you know. These are different laws or precepts or rules that govern us and secure us and assure a specific outcome, right? It says here that there are systems and precepts for obedience, prosperity and success, love. It's a bunch of them, and we'll go over them maybe when we come back next week. But there are systems, and those systems that are set up, they follow a certain pattern. If you follow that pattern, then you get to success. I've often told people, and I'm really in the mindset in this place, that success is predictable. Everything about your life is actually predictable. It really is. Because the one thing that you can count on if you're a son of Yah is that your outcomes are victorious. You may not know the way he's going to take you. You may not know everything that's ahead of you. Like Elder was saying, I don't know everything that's ahead of me. The one thing you do know is ahead of you is victory. You don't know the way that you're going to get to every victory. But you do know that victory is your portion. So when you know that, it doesn't matter what else you know. It don't even matter because you're just following at that point. You're just, like she said, following instructions, following the directions. But people that have trust issues, they don't know how to follow. People with trust issues don't know how to follow directions. They're often very rebellious. you know, very objective to everything. But the way that you're going is not fruitful. The way that you've been going has not been beneficial. So it just seems like it would make sense. Stop where you are, going the way you're going, and say, you know what? There's got to be a different way. There's got to be another way. It can't. This cannot be the way. And often we're saying that when we're in those situations. We're stopping and we're like, well, why is it all? But see, we say it from that perspective. Well, why is it always? And it's not a why is it always. It's really what am I doing that's taking me in this direction? Because everything is predictable in life. It really is. Success is predictable. If you put in, if you do the things that you need to do, and everybody's success is not, you know, like, for instance, people have all these different things that they do, right? Okay, so you go on YouTube right now, you'll see people that say, you know, that they made six figures in 30 days. Okay, but that might not be your way. Maybe you are a creator of technology. Maybe you are a business owner. Maybe you're not a person that sells products, but you sell services. At the end of the day, the way to make your way prosperous and have good success is to follow the instructions. Kingdom instructions are the instructions that lead us to that success. So if he says, do not let this book of the law, what I'm telling you, the things that I direct you to do, the things that I instruct you to do, meditate on that. If you're meditating on that, then you don't have time to meditate on anything else that's going to drag you in a different direction. And we have to fight with that from time to time because of our human part of who we are, because we are tripart beings, spirit, soul, and body. We often have to, you know, wrestle in those areas, but you should always win as a son. That, and at some point, the maturity level that you should be reaching should lend you to, you know what, I'm first going this way. I ain't going that way. I know what happens when I'm in my emotions. I know where these things take me when I get in these places. So you're going to go in the other direction because you've already been that way. So why go away that you've been where there's no success? Why go away where you're going to be delayed? You know, the Father said this to me this morning. He said, tell the people that it is the disbelief that causes delay. It's disbelief. It's not just disobedience, a whole bunch of disses. Disbelief and disobedience cause delay. When we're in those cycles of delay, it's a disbelief or it's a disobedience. And it doesn't have to be a purposeful disbelief. You may not even know, but a lot of times we don't even know what the difference between faith and just believing. The Bible says that the demons believe and tremble. So belief can't be the ultimate of a believer, of a son, right? The ultimate place of a believer is faith. And faith, when you come to faith, people call it a risk. Okay, so I've often kind of fought with that, but I will say it from this perspective. It's risky for a person that doesn't believe to operate in faith because they're afraid of what may or may not happen. But for a son, faith is not a fearful place because even though we're not in control of the outcomes, we know who is in control of the outcomes. So we're following away. We're doing a thing based on what the Father said do, to get to the place that he's calling us to. And we don't know the whole process of the journey. However, faith says, I'm on my way. I'm going, regardless of what I don't know. I'm going. I'm headed that way. You call me, I'm coming. You know, I don't know what I have to look forward to on this journey, you know, what things will face me or even oppose me. But, you know, people like to quote Proverbs 23, but not many people want to live it, you know. If he's our good shepherd and he leads us, you know, beside the still waters and makes us lie down, that thing about making you lie down, that's the crazy part. You would think that if the sheep gets to a pasture that's green, he would want to lie down, but he said he makes me lie down because oftentimes we don't know when to quit. We don't know when to rest. So he makes me lie down. But then it goes into this part about, yea, though I walk through the valley. Now, I know that he's leading me. I know that he's guiding me. I know that he's my shepherd. But there are also times when I'm walking through places because I'm learning. I'm growing. And it goes right back to what we were saying the other day. People are looking at it as, oh, it's a failure. Oh, I failed. You know, and you're living this place from this place of I'm a failure. And that's not the truth if you're a son. You've not failed. You're learning. Now, what have you learned on your journey is the question. What have you learned? Not you failed. You haven't failed anything. Again, the baby doesn't fail because it failed. It's learning to walk. And when it falls, that's not a failure. It's an exercise. They have to continue until their legs get strong enough to stand. So they're pulling up on things. They're watching the people around them. This is something that they've assimilated by watching and learning. So then the question goes to, what are you watching and what are you learning? What is your focus? What do you give your attention to? Because if you're giving your attention to things that are not feeding you and strengthening your legs for the journey, for the walk, then that's why you're stumbling. We're going to listen to the Torah portion for today. You can jump in right there. Today's Torah portion is evergreen, and what that means is simple words. And again, this is the thing that everything hinges on in life, words. And this is why I'm constantly telling us, you know, we've got to guard our gates, our eyes, our ears, our spirits, our hearts. We've got to guard the openings. We've got to guard these places that can be persuaded by words. This is how Adam and the woman he called Eve went from the garden to the woods, okay? Because of words. It's really that deep, you know, not following the system that was established, that was set up. It was a simple system. They had everything that they would ever need was in that garden. He said the gold of that land was good. There were jewels there. Well, they didn't really need the gold and the jewels like we think of gold and jewels. They weren't necessarily making jewelry with them and wearing them, but I'm sure there's other significant value to gold and jewels. You know, gold is in a lot of these technological devices that we have, right? Gold has a lot of different purposes besides wearing it on your neck, but that's a whole nother conversation. Jewels have a whole lot of significance besides wearing them as jewelry. You know, they can be used for a whole lot of things, and a lot of people use them for a whole lot of wicked things, but they can be used for a whole lot of things, you know? And so they had everything that they would ever need and were given commands or instructions. And they did not follow those instructions. And because of that, they went from the garden to the woods. They went from a place that was easy to a place that was hard. The way of transgressors is hard, you know? So if we understand this, and I think this is really key, that there's no begging in the kingdom. You know, a lot of people are in this place where they're like, well, you know, I hope so. Well, you know, I pray that it go through, or listen. Things are predictable. If the Father has given you something to desire, again, not just something you came up with, something you want to do, he gives us what to desire because he knows the perfect will that he has for our lives. He knows the purpose that he put us here. So he knows how everything works, just like a manufacturer would understand how their product works, right? They created this product with something very specific in mind. And in that specificity lies all of the abilities and capabilities of that product to perform the thing that it was created for. So he's going to give you what to desire. And when you identify and tap into those desires that he's giving you, then you'll be able to fulfill and begin to function once you identify them and know that this is his will. This is his will. Let me perform the thing that he's called me to. Listen, I was purposed for this. I was born for this. So it's not an issue of whether you can do it. There's no begging in the kingdom. David said it like this: I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. That comes from a man that understands the character of Yah, understands the character of his Father. He knows that he's never going to be abandoned nor be in a position of begging. Now, was he in the wilderness? Yes. He had to go through some things, but guess what? He was always provided for. He was always kept. I'm thinking about Elijah now, who was at the brook, right, was sent to the brook. He gave a prophetic word that said there will be no dew nor rain for 3 years except at my word. But that word affected him. He's at a brook, and the Father's sending ravens to feed him, you know, twice a day, and he's drinking water from the brook, right? However, there comes a time when the brook dries up and the ravens stop coming. Okay, well, how this works with people that are in their flesh, oh, now see, here go the brook. The brook didn't dry up. The birds don't feed me. Now what? No, there's no now what. He got instructions next. But the thing is, we have to listen for the words. We have to listen for the instructions. We have to be mindful of what we're hearing and what words we're adhering to, because the Father will never leave us in a position where we don't have what we need. Never. He's never going to do it. It's just not his character. He's never done it, and he'll never do it. If there's anything that we've ever missed, it was because we were disobedient, okay? And in that disobedience, we walked into some delays. It doesn't mean you're denied. It just means you're living in a place of delay because you won't obey. I wasn't trying to rhyme, but my kids used to say, and you know it's the truth. It rhymed, and you know it's the truth. I used to tell them, you're still lying. And it rhymed, too, so you know it's the truth. So we're going to go to Devereen. We are. If anybody has anything they want to say, feel free to jump. We're going to listen to you guys. We're going from chapter 1 in Deuteronomy to chapter 3, verse 22. I'm encouraging you to take notes, jot down as it's moving along, just you know, a phrase or whatever. You can go back to that, and we can identify with that and just kind of have a little bit of table talk this morning around the Torah portion. I don't know if we'll get to the prophetic passage or the good message passage, but we definitely going to do this Torah portion. So you ready?
I'm ready. Wait.
Y'all wrote a song about it. You want to hear it? Here it go.
Can you hear me?
I can. Yes,
hello?
Ma'am.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know. Okay, as you all were talking, I wrote this yesterday from the things that we were talking about, Proverbs 3 and 5 and all that.
Yes.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. And
yes.
The rest of it says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Yes.
And I also wrote, if we tap into that understanding,
that's good.
We will move a certain way when we understand that who the Father is and who we are in him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We talked about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. I wrote down that it's like a mental exercise that we're doing.
It is.
You know, it's an exercise. And you know, we talked about, like, knowing the steps, you know, how you think you got to know all the steps. But then I also went from a thought pattern that if we knew all the steps, we probably wouldn't even take the first step.
Child, we were wrong.
Sometimes. We wouldn't take the first step if we knew everything in advance, you know?
No, man.
People like, running in and I know.
They run the other way just on the first word. He like, oh, I'm definitely not gonna finish this sentence.
Right. You know, sometimes it's just and I guess going back to Proverbs 3:5, if we trusting in the Lord and we're not leaning to our understanding, a lot of times it's because we want to understand. We don't need to understand if we're trusting in him.
Or we're presuming that we understand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I get it.
Right,
oh,
right.
We used to have a couple people on the line.
Right.
We used to have a couple people on the line. Oh, I get it. And I'd be like, we'd be like, she don't get nothing.
Mm-mm. But I guess the main thing is to understand that we don't need to understand if we trust
that's
in him. Just
that's
just
it.
Do what he say. He
period.
Got you. I got you.
Period.
I got
that's
you.
It. But see, we keep equating the Father to man. When we've been disappointed
right.
by mankind, we often push that feeling that we have about the people that have disappointed us, abandoned us, rejected us, whatever those things are. We defer that to him as if he's the one that did it. He's saying, I'm not them.
Right.
I'm not a man that I should lie.
No.
Absolutely not. But until we get those.
My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts.
Listen, he's letting you know all of what I do is above the basic human identity, you know, and you have to tap in or be in relationship to me to even be in this intimate place with me to know what my thoughts are. Now, the beauty of that is we can know his thoughts because the Holy Spirit knows even the mind of Yah, right? That's what he's
saying.
So it's about identifying these things and understanding these things to know he's not going to leave me out somewhere, just stranded. If I'm stranded, it's because I decided something. I did something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm off. Okay, what did I do?
We strayed off. We often strayed away.
What we want to blame him for. We don't want to take the responsibility that we messed it up. We want to make it his fault. Because after all, he controls everything. No, that's not true. He deals with the heavens and he's given men to deal with the earth. So whatever we're getting out of this earthly experience is a result of the words that we've heard and what we're adhering to, and the words that we've spoken and what we're creating. That's how he set the system up. It's a simple system. It's not very difficult. It's just that people have tried to make it more difficult than what it was. It's really a simple system. And if we follow the rules, we follow, you know, it's like a board game. You can't win without knowing the rules. And if you don't play by the rules, you're cheating. Mm-hmm. And if you cheat, nobody want to play with you. So now you just out there. You in a crowd of people, don't nobody will play with you, because every time you play, you cheat. So I ain't playing. We're not playing with you. It's just how it works, you know. That is just how it works. So we're going to listen to 3, verse 22. So let's listen to this. Y'all ready to take your notes? Open up me a little note situation over here so I can type. And let's go. Y'all ready? I'm praying that somebody let me know that you can hear, because you know what I just thought about? If I play it on this computer, I don't know. I know you can hear me, but I'm thinking about playing it on my computer, and that was a really dumb idea. I need to transfer it to one of these devices real quick, because I don't think that's going to work like I think it's supposed to work. So let me put one of these other devices at the helm of that responsibility. Yep, that's what I'm going to do. Devereen. Yeah, I'll play it from this other device. And then, then we can move from there. That should work. But playing it on the computer that I'm actually using is not going to, that's not going to work like that. I would love for it to work like that, but I don't think that that's what it's going to do. So, all right, here we go. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. There we go. Y'all ready?
These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah opposite Suf.
Can you hear
between
it?
Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh.
Yeah, he's good. Okay.
In the 40th year, on the first.
There.
You couldn't hear it? Oh.
No, it stopped.
Okay, maybe because I muted myself. That's exactly why. Okay, we're going back from the top.
Okay.
We're okay now.
These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. In the 40th year, on the 1st of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the people of Israel according to all the Lord had given him at the commandment. He did Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who lived in Hebron, and Og, the king of Bashan, lived in Ashtaroth and in Edrei. Beyond the Jordan and land of Moab, Moses undertook to explain this law, saying, "The Lord our God said to us in Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all their neighbors in the Arabah, in the hill country and in the lowland, and in the Negev and by the seacoast, the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and to their offspring after them. At that time I said to you, 'I am not able to bear you by myself. The Lord your God has multiplied you, and behold, you are today as numerous as the stars of heaven. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, make you 1,000 times as many as you are, and bless you as he has promised you. How can I bear by myself the weight and burden of you and your strife? Choose for your tribes wise, understanding, and experienced men, and I will appoint them as your heads.' And you answered me, 'The thing that you have spoken is good for us to do. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and experienced men, and set them as heads over you, commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, commanders of fifties, commanders of tens, and officers throughout your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, hear the cases between your brothers, and judge righteously between a man and his brother or the alien who is with him. You shall not be partial in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not be intimidated by anyone, for the judgment is God's. And the case that is too hard for you, you shall bring to me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things that you should do. Then we set out from Horeb and went through all that great and terrifying wilderness that you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then all of you came near me and said, let us send men before us, that they may explore the land for us and bring us word again of the way by which we must go up and the cities into which we shall come. The thing seemed good to me, and I took 12 men from you, one man from each tribe. And they turned and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. And they took in their hands some of the fruit of the land and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. Yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Where are we going up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And besides, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents, in fire by night and in the cloud by day, to show you by what way you should go. And the Lord heard your words and was angered, and he swore, not one of these men of this evil generation shall see the good land that I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and to his children I will give the land on which he has trodden, because he has wholly followed the Lord. Even with me the Lord was angry on your account and said, you also shall not go in there. Joshua the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. And as for your little ones, who you said would become a prey, and your children, who today have no knowledge of good or evil, they shall go in there, and to them I will give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn and journey into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. Then you answered me, we have sinned against the Lord. We ourselves will go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded us. And every one of you fastened on his weapons of war and thought it easy to go up into the hill country. And the Lord said to me, say to them, do not go up or fight, for I am not in your midst, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, and you would not listen. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord, and presumptuously went up into the hill country. Then the Amorites who lived in that hill country came out against you, and chased you as bees do, and beat you down in Seir, as far as Hormah. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord did not listen to your voice or give ear to you. So you remained at Kadesh many days, the days that you remained there. Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea, as the Lord told me. And for many days we traveled around Mount Seir. Then the Lord said to me, you have been traveling around this mountain country long enough. Turn northward and command the people. You are about to pass through the territory of your brothers, the people of Esau who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. So be very careful. Do not contend with them, for I will not give you any of their land, no, not so much as for the sole of the foot to tread on, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall purchase food from them with money, that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them with money, that you may drink, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. So we went on away from our brothers, the people of Esau, who live in Seir, away from the Arabah road, from Elath and Ezion-Geber. And we turned and went in the direction of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab or contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any land for a possession, because I have given Ar to the people of Lot for a possession. The Emim formerly lived there, a people great and many, and tall as the Anakim. Like the Anakim, they are also counted as Rephaim, but the Moabites call them Emim. The Horites also lived in Seir formerly, but the people of Esau dispossessed them and destroyed them from before them and settled in their place, as Israel did to the land of their possession, which the Lord gave to them. Now rise up and go over the brook Zered. So we went over the brook Zered, and the time from our leaving Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the brook Zered was 38 years, until the entire generation, that is, the men of war, had perished from the camp, as the Lord had sworn to them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them, to destroy them from the camp until they had perished. So as soon as all the men of war had perished and were dead from among the people, the Lord said to me, today you are to cross the border of Moab at Ar. And when you approach the territory of the people of Ammon, do not harass them or contend with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the sons of Lot for a possession. It is also counted as a land of Rephaim. Rephaim formerly lived there, but the Ammonites called them Zamzummim, a people great and many, and tall as the Anakim. But the Lord destroyed them before the Ammonites, and they dispossessed them and settled in their place, as he did for the people of Esau who live in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites before them, and they dispossessed them and settled in their place even to this day. As for the Evim who lived in the villages as far as Gaza, the Kaphtorim who came from Kaphtor, destroyed them and settled in their place. Rise up, set out on your journey, and go over the valley of the Arnon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you on the peoples who are under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you, and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. So I sent messengers from the wilderness of Kedemoth to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, let me pass through your land. I will go only by the road. I will turn aside neither to the right nor to the left. You shall sell me food for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only let me pass through on foot, as the sons of Esau who live in Seir and the Moabites who live in Ar did for me, until I go over the Jordan into the land that the Lord our God is giving to us. But Sihon, the king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might give him into your hand as he is this day. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to take possession, that you may occupy his land. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Jahaz. And the Lord our God gave him over to us, and we defeated him and his sons and all his people. And we captured all his cities at that time, and devoted to destruction every city, men, women, and children. We left no survivors, only the livestock we took as spoil for ourselves with the plunder of the cities that we captured. From Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, and from the city that is in the valley as far as Gilead, there was not a city too high for us. The Lord our God gave all into our hands. Only to the land of the sons of Ammon you did not draw near, that is, to all the banks of the river Jabbok, and the cities of the hill country, whatever the Lord our God had forbidden us. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei, But the Lord said to me, do not fear him, for I have given him and all his people and his land into your hand. And you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who lived at Heshbon. So the Lord our God gave into our hand Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people. And we struck him down until he had no survivor left. And we took all his cities at that time. There was not a city that we did not take from them. 60 cities, the whole region of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan. All these were cities fortified with high walls, gates, and bars, besides very many unwalled villages. And we devoted them to destruction, as we did to Sihon, the king of Heshbon, devoting to destruction every city, men, women, and children. But all the livestock and the spoil of the cities we took as our plunder. So we took the land at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, from the valley of the Arnon to Mount Hermon. The Sidonians call Hermon Sirion, while the Amorites call it Sinar. All the cities of the tableland and all Gilead and all Bashan, as far as Seleca and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan. For only Og, the king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. Behold, his bed was a bed of iron. Is it not in Rabbah of the Ammonites? 9 cubits was its length, and 4 cubits its breadth, according to the common cubit. When we took possession of this land at that time, I gave to the Reubenites and the Gadites the territory beginning at Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of the Arnon, and half the hill country of Gilead with its cities, the rest of Gilead and all Bashan, the kingdom of Og, that is all the region of Argob, I gave to the half-tribe of Manasseh. All that portion of Bashan is called the land of Rephaim. Jair the Manassite took all the region of Argob, that is Bashan, as far as the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and called the villages after his own name, Havoth Jair, as it is to this day. To Maker I gave Gilead, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites I gave the territory from Gilead as far as the valley of the Arnon, with the middle of the valley as a border, as far over as the river Jabbok, the border of the Ammonites, the Arabah also, with the Jordan as the border, from Kinnereth as far as the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, under the slopes of Pisgah on the east. And I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess. All your men of valor shall cross over armed before your brothers, the people of Israel. Only your wives, your little ones, and your livestock, I know that you have much livestock, shall remain in the cities that I have given you until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as to you, and they also occupy the land that the Lord your God gives them beyond the Jordan. Then each of you may return to his possession which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at that time, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms into which you are crossing. You shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you.
Okay, all right. This is why Torah is important, because when we're hearing these words, these are the words that we need to hear that give us a focus and a direction. As the Father was with those of our forefathers, he's never changed how he moves. He's never changed how he works. Just people have come into these places where they have these different religious and spiritual identities that actually often oppose his system, and then when it doesn't work, then there's a question of why it's not working. Well, you only work with what, you know, if you work a thing according to how it's supposed to work, then you have success. If you are trying to work a thing without operating it the way that it was instructed to be operated, then you have no success. So when we look back over this, you can look at what I just said from the perspective of here they are, they're at Kirub, they're there, okay? They're right there at the promise, all right? But at the promise, they decide, instead of going in, they want to spy it out. Okay, Moses like, okay, bet. That's fine, you can do that. He said, I didn't have no problem with that, right? But here's the problem. He said, go up and get it. Go up and take it. Go up and do it. He didn't say do no research on it necessarily. Now, see, there's where those issues become things that people say, well, I felt like when we read it in such and such, it said, okay, but you got people that are interpreting, or should I say, what's the word for it, translating. So translations may be different in different places, but how you come to the conclusion of what actually happened is because you'll get witnesses to a thing. And this is not going to be the only witness that we see that they asked to go in and check it out. But see, you can, because the thing is done a certain way in one season doesn't mean it's for that season, okay? You remember when they went to Jericho, when they were going to the Battle of Jericho, the Father told them to send in two spies. But now we're here at the promise, and it's like, we're here at the promise. He's not saying send in anybody. But if you get stuck in how he used to deal with you, if you get stuck in how he usually talks to you, if you get stuck in a place where you're like, well, this is how he talks to me. I was connected to somebody back in the day that could not hear past how they believed that the Father talked to them. Well, the Father knows that if he won't talk to me, this is how he talked to me. And I'm like, what? He talk how he want to talk. If he want to use the leaves on the tree outside to talk to you and you can't hear the leaves on the tree, then you are through. You're done. You understand what I'm saying? And the crazy part about it is that all of creation exclaims his glory, his doings, right? This is why the word says stuff like, consider the ant, thou sluggard. Why? Because how he got the ant system working, he's like, this is a way that you can identify with and see how you should function, how you should move. The ant in all seasons is moving. He's working. He's doing what's necessary to build his environment. And he's three seasons ahead of where he needs to be. So what is the Father saying in consider the ant? You don't ever jump into things and, you know, you don't plan for a thing when you're about to go into it. You plan for a thing before you get there. So this takes me back to something that you said, Prophetess Valentina, maybe about a week ago when you were like, you know, I was asking, I was wondering, you know, like the Father had me create these businesses and set up all this stuff, and I could have put this money over here, and I felt like I could have done this or that or the other, but this is how he functions. He's like, okay, I'm going to tell you the end from the beginning. So because he told you the end from the beginning, you started working on the end, right? And then you realize, okay, well, I'm not even doing that right now, so maybe I should, no, don't move anything because you're considering the ant right now. The ant is three seasons ahead of where it's going, of where it needs to be. So it's not going to ever run into a situation like if hell freeze over, the ant got food for three seasons. He going to live three seasons. You know what I'm saying? He not like, oh, you know what? Winter's coming, so we got to hurry up and get this in there or else we'll have no food for the winter. Y'all seen that, the grasshopper and the ants, right? The grasshopper out there just frivolously just playing around. He playing music, he dancing around, and I got no problem with dancing or singing. I do both, right? But there are seasons that you have to do other things. And in the time or in the moment that you need to be doing something else and you bouncing around, bopping around, you might mess yourself up, you know? Just mess yourself up because at some point singing and dancing stop, and now I got to plan, I got to organize, I got to, you know, create a financial, I got to identify if I'm on task, what this season is saying concerning my financial perspectives. You know what I mean? Am I doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing in this moment to actualize that? So I'm going to open up the line for a moment and let you guys share. If you have some particular points you want to mention, some particular things that you want to talk about this morning, I'm open to do that. Let's do that. We're going to try to do this in the next 30 to 45 minutes. Max, because I need to be getting up. Well, I mean, we can roll till 10. I don't have to be where I got to go to the 11. So we'll make it work. We'll make it work. Line is open, though. So what are you looking like from your notes over there? I was typing away on this end, so I got notes to share. But I want to hear what you're writing down over there and what things are standing out to you. The line is open. Airspace right now. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
I can hear you as well.
Okay, cool. Notes. What part stood out to you? What are you thinking? What did you hear?
For me, it's timing, and it's speaking on the parts of are you doing what you can do? Are you moving? Are you acting? And I said this yesterday. I was like understanding that even in our conversation yesterday, you know, what keeps coming up to me through our, you know, our conversations and is following the instructions. But it's like we can get instructions, but are you actually, even in following the instructions, are you acting on them? You know, because sometimes you're like, okay, I'm following instructions. I get it, but are you acting on them? So, and then are these the instructions that, you know, you're supposed to be doing? Because sometimes we can try to listen for what somebody else is telling us to do, but what are we really hearing what the Father's telling us to do personally?
That's
like,
right.
You know, we got to make sure that we're not overriding what the Father is telling us, because we believe that what the other person has said. It's like a season of when you know, in church, and it's like, well, the matchmaking game. Well, I think you're supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to be with this person, blah blah blah,
okay.
And you know, and your spirit, you're looking like, I don't think so, you know, but you're like, okay, let me entertain it though, because, well, I trust the prophet, you know what I'm saying? I trust him,
right?
Yeah, you know, and so it's just like, well, okay, let me see, and it just was not that. It was not that, you know. So, but when you really know that you know for yourself what the Father is speaking to you, you can't override what the Father is speaking to you to believe what, you know, someone else is saying to you about a thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was about those instructions and following what the Father is giving you that really stood out, because it's like listening to what we were talking about yesterday, and it just rang out again, just, you know, we got to act. It's like action, you know, like lights, camera, action.
Yeah.
You know, start, you know.
Start, move, go.
Yeah. And so it was like, you know, even with a season of change, like sometimes there's small changes, then there's some big changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, with the big change was a couple, you know, a few days ago, it was just like I'm acting. I tell you, I'm acting. I am moving.
Yeah.
I have like gotten, started going through all these, you know, clothes and stuff that I have. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting rid of all this. I'm getting rid of all this because I can't wear it anymore. I haven't worn it, so I don't need it. So let's purge.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that's what came up to me. And it was just like, I had been speaking to my daughter about it. And so, but for a while, but finally, it's kind of like I waited on her.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, sometimes when her and I could be in sync, right on point, and sometimes I'm like, okay, let me wait, or sometimes she's like, okay, let me wait on my mom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we would play that, you know, back and forth game, and you know, well, not back and forth, but just waiting on each other, or sometimes we right in sync. And so I waited on her, and when she said, like, okay, mom, let's get rid of some of this stuff, you know, I'm like, okay, cool, because now she's had that urgency in her. I want to clear everything out so that we can make room for the new. I don't want all this stuff anymore, you know. So
mm-hmm.
We're cleaning out the garage. We're cleaning out the basement. We're getting all this excess stuff that we've had accumulated, you know. And it's like I was going through – I still do it, though, but I recycle. So I had
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of stuff that needed to be recycled that was in the garage, because the truck at one time wasn't picking up our things, and we had to go and take them ourselves. So
mm-hmm.
Some things accumulated. So like the boxes and all that kind of stuff when we purchased things, just all this stuff. So
mm-hmm.
we pulled all the stuff out, and it's just, it feels so good to know that, you know, now is the time to act, to move. So those were
yeah.
These examples of you know, just putting you know, your foot to the plow, so to speak. You know, let's get it moving. And I think sometimes with anyway, I guess it's a doubt because or a fear. No, I don't know. Anyway, I'm trying to trying to dig and see what the seed was. A feeling comes up when I think I spoke before. It's like being left behind, and it's like that feeling comes up. That's an old thought that keeps wanting to keep surfacing.
Yeah.
But and so it was like when you say about I guess it's like, do I believe that I'm hearing God, that I'm acting on it, that I'm moving forward in it? Am I doing the right thing at the right time? And so all of that begins to play, and then that can block you from moving.
Yeah.
So I'm learning in this season to, okay, at that time, what is God speaking to me at this moment? And that's why I'm learning to take one step at a time instead of saying or thinking, okay, I got to do this, but to trust myself. And I know that it has to grow with us. We have to act. And the more we act on what we're hearing from God, the more we believe that we're hearing and we're trusting God in certain, you know, in the areas of our lives. Because for me, I got to find out what that is. You know, it's like, because it'll pop up. And the pop up in my mind and be like, okay, am I hearing what it is? Or I don't know. I think it's just the fear of being left behind. I don't know. It'll come up.
It's like a thing of loss. You know, it's like a thing of loss or losing something, like you're going to be without, or you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you know, just to preface something that you said, the caveat of hearing. Who's calling me? I'm like, what? What is going on? There's a caveat of hearing. Hold on one second. Somebody say something. Let me see what this is. This might be business.
So anyway, when I think about the actions for me, I'm trying to keep myself in a place of believing and moving. And what she was saying with being is believing and executing. So I keep telling myself, I keep rehearsing in my mind, execute, because we can't have faith without believing. You can't believe without acting, because what we think, what we believe is what we will do, what our actions will lead us into doing. So if you believe something, you're going to act out of that belief, out of that thought process. So I keep looking at, okay, being, and I just keep rehearsing that in my mind, because I want to make sure that I'm going in that direction. I am doing what I need to do. And so, it's a season for me to really begin to believe in me for me, not believe in me for someone else, because I was always the one that was, you know, want to do and help and give other people, sacrifice for other people, and leave me out and be, you know, lacking. But now it's like, okay, no, put you first. Now love you first. Now do for you first. And, you know, so that's where I am in my mind in regards to the being. I keep telling myself, you know, just keep being, just keep being present with yourself, believing that you're hearing, believing that you're acting, believing that you can have, believing that you can do, believing that you are. And so that's where I am with the action part of things. Because if we don't act, you know, you can keep saying, I said this yesterday too. I was like, we can keep saying, I'm gonna. And as long as you keep saying you're gonna, it's gonna stay in the future. So I find myself changing my even my wording. It's like, no, I am. I am working on this. I am doing this. So that I can bring the things that I'm focusing on or wanting to focus on heavily or more prominently, I'll speak in the present tense so that I can bring my mind in alignment so my body can act on it. So that's where I am with that.
As you were talking, I thought about what I had heard yesterday at a Bible study. And one of the things that I wrote down was faith is acting on what you've heard from God. And I thought that was a good point.
That is a good point.
And he talked about trust. Trust means it's not in your hands. God is teaching us to wait, but wait means not like wait and sit down, but like a waiter waits on you're in motion. A waiter at a restaurant is working. That's what we're supposed
yes.
to be doing.
Wow,
motion.
That's profound. Profound because when it comes to the maturity level, of what I can remember in church, it was like, wait on God, wait on the Lord. And they will tell you, you know, just be still, just wait on the Lord. Be so, when you tell people to be still and wait on the Lord, you tell them not to act on anything, you tell them not to do anything. They, you know, the perception is to just not do nothing and just wait on God.
Right, sit down, he's going to do it. No.
But he already did it. So it's like you putting the people in a place of not receiving that which was you know, something for them to act on. Because I know that when it comes out to the miracles in the Bible, Jesus told the people to do things. They had to do something.
Right.
And like
march around the wall.
Yes. or go to the priest to show yourself, you know. So it, these are things that we, you know, you have to do. So, and then so the wait on the Lord is, so it's like you, what you say it was again?
Waiting.
Oh, it's like
is
a waiter.
Like a waiter. It doesn't mean
right.
sit down.
No, it does not. Oh, I'm so glad that you said that, Prophet, because this was the image I got yesterday about the waiting, about how religious people see the waiting. It's like they sit down and fold their arms. But you know what that's about? You know what I identified that's about? That's not about I'm waiting on God. That's like God proved it to me. I don't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's deep because that's what they're teaching, though.
Because I just said,
you know, in church, they would tell you, you know, be still and wait on God.
Yes.
And it's like,
yes.
That's not what God
is
saying.
Can I tell y'all something? I had a dream yesterday. When I got off of here, I was really, like I was exhausted. But I know often we don't recognize that sometimes we're dealing in warfare when we're teaching things, you know. And so sometimes there's a little bit of fatigue that can come because the adversary is fighting. You know, he's vying for a position. And so while you're working on people, you're working on you too, you know? That's
yes.
the thing that a lot of people don't understand. You know, I don't care how far along you've come and how mature you are, there's always growth, you know, that needs to take place. There's always a potential for growth. And so when
yes.
I laid down, there was a specific thing, and I'm probably only going to remember bits and pieces. I'm going to remember the part that's important to share right now. Here was the thing. I was in this place, and there was this large room. In the large room, there was this leader. There were two leaders that were mega leaders right now. They are major leaders. They've been leaders for a long time. Very well known. If I mentioned their names, both of their names, you would know them. I have watched them since I was a kid. And one of these leaders, was in a hospital robe and looked very weak, very fragile. Somehow or another, there was one shoe that was not like the other. I don't know whether there was a cast on the foot and maybe a shoe or what that was, but something wasn't right with the feet. Okay. They weren't matching. But I was rubbing the back of this leader and I was saying, I really love you. You know, like, I love you so much. You know what I mean? It was like a, but, you know, it was one of those things. I'll just keep sharing it and then you guys will disseminate it. Anyway, while I'm doing that, he's walking around this room and this other leader is teaching. Now he's teaching and he's walking around the breadth of this room and he's pointing up at the ceiling. I guess there are some pictures, some images around the ceiling, and he's explaining or teaching or whatever he's saying to the people. But as he's doing that, there are little factions and groups of people that are beginning to quarrel with one another. Even it began to, a fight broke out. And then when that fight broke out, there were other fights that began to break out. And all of a sudden, this room was in an uproar. There were fights and tumults and just all kinds of stuff going on. It was just like it was a frenzy. Let me go back for a minute, because when the leader came around the room, I happened to be on the side of the room that he was coming to. So he was passing by me, and I kind of squatted down like, you know, like, man, I'm all in the way of your thing. And he waved at me and I waved back at him. And he was like, it's okay. And so I got up and I moved back towards the other leader. This is when all the fights started breaking out. And so in the moment the fight started breaking out, I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. So I might have done that. I don't know what the timing was on that, because I'm in the spirit now. I don't know what the time length was of me praying in the spirit, but it wasn't long is what I know. It wasn't a long period of time. I'm praying in the spirit, and all of a sudden, I began to scream out, just yell. I knew that it wasn't just my voice. It was my voice, but it was like something was attached to my vocal box that made my voice much, 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 much bigger than what it normally was. And I know it was the Holy Spirit. But I began to holler out in the top of my ability and strength, thus saith the Lord. I said it like 5 or 6 times. I just kept saying it. And then as I was saying it, I began to spin. And then I had this spatula or this ruler, something that was in my hand, like some kind of stick. And I began to bang on the table. And when I got done shouting, thus saith the Lord, that many times, and I banged on that table, it was almost like a gavel kind of, you know, this is what I'm thinking of when I'm thinking about me banging on a table. And I don't know what the spinning thing was about, except for I can equate it to something that he spoke to me as a child. But it was silent in the room. And I woke up. Now, when I woke up, I was very tired, and I needed to go do something. I was tired. I was exhausted. So I called you, Prophetess LaDonya. You weren't available at the time, so you didn't respond. And then I called another prophet. In that moment, I was like, I need to call one of the prophets. I need somebody to say something to me because I need some help. I'm tired, and I got to move, you know. And they began to speak. But by the time they spoke to me, I'd already encouraged myself and got up by the time they were available. And the very first thing they said to me was, the father said, remind her. I don't think he was saying remind her. I think he said to give her a reminder, right? But he said, the father said, know who you are. And he also said, this is a season of you encouraging yourself. He said something else. Now, that doesn't mean other people won't speak to you. And that doesn't mean when I reach out to people that I don't expect people to respond to me either, because I'm responding.
Right.
You know what I mean? But there will be times when you're not able to catch up with people, you know? And in that time, he just simply reminded me to do what I've always done. You know, David had that kind of identity. You know, I will encourage myself, you know, but at the point I reach out to somebody, I'm really feeling like I need some backup. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't, it's not a regular thing for me to reach out to somebody. I need some backup, back me up. You know what I'm saying? But he gave me the word. He said the word was reminder. You know, he said a couple of things to me. But I'm going to open up the floor just for a minute for you guys to just kind of talk about that dream for a minute, because I have some things that I see about that and some things that I know about that. But I'd love to hear what the prophets have to say about, you know, about the dream. One of the reasons why I mentioned it, first of all, was because you talked about that's what we were taught. We were taught wrong. So the first thing that I know the dream is related to is the fact that there are fights and factions because of the teaching. And so that's the first.
So deep. When I tell you God is so good, God is so good because this I was waiting. I kept saying, I said, Father, what you telling me, I'm just going to hold. I'm going to hold until, until you speak it, because it would bring a fight. It would bring up a fight because I was concerned. I was concerned about when we talk about when we are ourselves holding on to the old mindset, the old thoughts that was, conditioning that was given us. But when it comes down to the factions are the different religions, and the faction, and people are not getting along, and people are fighting and killing each other because they're different, because we believe differently, and that's got to stop. That's got to stop.
But it's because of the teaching. The teaching is erroneous, so we're gonna always fight. It's never.
Even with that, what you're saying, in the dream, even in your dream, all the different factions begin to fight. But then the judgment came down. God was telling you to look. Thus says the Lord. And then the gavel came down, meaning that because a lot of the stuff that's being fought and people are killing each other over is really, really, when you look at it, it's real frivolous. It's so shallow. It's material stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you want to take something that somebody else has that's not yours.
Right.
It's not yours, but you want to take it from somebody else. You know what I'm saying? So things that are like those things that we know are not correct. We know that are not right. But, you want to back up and get behind the person who, is not speak. Like, say for instance, the same thing with Haman. Haman knew what he was doing. You know what I'm saying? All that dishonesty and all that, corruption, all that kind of stuff. So we know all that happens. But when it comes down to the different factions like that, whenever people speak about, whenever I hear the scripture about every joint supplying, how's it go? That scripture about every joint supplying every joint together, whatever.
Yeah,
how's that scripture?
Body fitly joined, every joint supplying. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
The body fitly joined. Yeah.
The body, right. So when it comes down to the body being joined, the different factions all are a part of the body. The toe is not the finger. The arm or the elbow is not the knee. We got to understand where we are in the body. The body cannot be everybody. Every faction in the body cannot be the brain. Every body of the faction cannot be the feet, cannot be the hands.
Right.
Everybody got to understand where they are in the body for the body to function properly. I've been praying this. The Father gave it to me, but I've been praying for my own body, but it's for the body. But I've been praying the last 2 days. I've been praying that, Father, that everything in the body is working properly, decently, in order, and that it's functioning effectively and efficiently. That's been my prayer for the last few days that the Father gave me.
Now check this out.
It's deep.
Because here's the thing. We got factions, and then we got, I said factions, and then I said cliques, right? For me, the factions and the cliques are, yes, definitely different religions, but also different denominations. But the thing is, because the teaching is erroneous, people are fighting. But I really saw the factions more so as the denominations of people. But here's the thing. The truth is, everybody is not a part of the body, and we don't all believe religions are not religions. The way religions are founded is erroneous in and of itself. Okay. And so there are things that the adversary has set up to mimic how the kingdom moves. For me, religion is that. It's a mimic of what the kingdom purpose is. Okay. So the reason they're fighting, the reason they're fighting is because the teaching. And see, I said two major leaders. So he's saying, thus the Father's saying, he uses me to say, thus saith the Lord, but that's, here's what it is. You fighting ain't going to change what, this is what it is. Your teaching is erroneous. That's why you're fighting. So let it be heard what he's saying. You know, and it made me go back to the thing that he had me type in this in the episode info section where it says, not one ear will not hear the roar. There will not be one. And then Elder came on today and said, every knee going to bend. You understand?
Every knee going to bend.
Every knee. So there are things that have been taught that are causing fightings and wars to break out. But at the end of the day, the Father's going to have the last say. He's going to have the last say. But we have to identify with the fact that when the Father is talking about the body, he's talking about his children. He's talking about the people that he's chosen. And they could be from various different religions. That's not what I'm saying. They could be. But it's not the religion itself.
Exactly. It's not the religion itself. It's not. Exactly.
No, because we don't all serve the same God.
No.
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 Nope. Not at all. Not at all. Yeah.
But the point is that if you're not even open to have a conversation with somebody from another religion, you don't even know what their principles are that they believe in. Because just like we come in, you know, we from the United States, you know, most times, you know, you look at the different denominations like you were saying, and you could have a principle that you're functioning in, and so does this other group of people. You know what I'm saying? So you, and I know my walk is not anybody else's, and I know my calling is not anybody else's, but I know the Father's called me to different religions. So I'm not the one that's gonna, go against or don't want to talk to or not opening to hearing and conversation and speaking with and being a part of and praying for and loving on. That's not me.
That's not the kingdom, period. Sons go into territory. So that's not even an issue with us. We don't have that issue here. This is
Right. Yeah. So that's who I am.
Yeah.
And it was like, so when I hear about, you know, the different things of like, just dealing with all the chaos of not receiving or believing that we should even communicate with people that are not believers, that are not sons, that are not
What the Father does exclaim that we shouldn't deal with is people that say they're believers but that's doing something else. That's what he told us to stay away from.
Mm-hmm.
People that are claiming to be sons, but do live differently than sons. Uh-huh. He said, don't even eat with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm that right there. It was like, that's profound. I'm that's deep. That right there is real deep.
That's real deep. Yeah, that all of the
that just lets you know that he told me and showed me is true. That just gave me confirmation about where I am moving in. So
yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yes.
He good like that, ain't he?
All the time. Because
like
so many times people want to put shackles on you and you can't be who you are, you know, because they want you to fit into whatever imagery that they have imagined you in. So that's putting you in a box. And I used to say this all the time we was in church. I used to be like, girl, and me and you both, we would come up to each other and say something to each other about when we heard something. You're like, you heard that? Like, yeah, mm-hmm. I heard that. And it's like, look at them, putting God in the box. God mm-hmm. in it. And I'll be like, God is too fast for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they'll be speaking something and it's putting God in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And that ain't even God. That ain't God. That's them. That's them.
Not at all.
Want to interject and say what they claiming is God.
Yeah.
But no.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
It's a depth of lack of understanding, and that's why the people were being destroyed. Because knowledge was lacking. Knowledge was definitely lacking. But it's about growth. It's all about growth.
It is.
Growth, you know? And they would rather sit in each other's face every Sunday, fake, walk up separate aisles, not talk to each other, than to go out into the world and preach. But, I mean, you don't have nothing to preach. That's why it's a scary thing, because you can't do this. That people do in church, they can't do that in the world. People not buying
mm-hmm.
it. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? No.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to go into, no, into your job, into the lunchroom and be like, listen, I'm telling y'all, you're not doing that. No.
No.
Nope.
And then the thing about this is that it's like some practical information that the Father gives, because the practicality of it all is the fact of God, our Father, wants
mm-hmm.
our lives to represent him. And he wants our lives to be able to be conducive to change, to
mm-hmm.
change. Because
mm-hmm.
where we were, you know, like they'll tell you, okay, what's your plan? Where you were last year, you shouldn't be last year. Where you were 3 years ago, you shouldn't be still there. And
mm-hmm.
but you gonna still be there if you still getting the same teaching. So what's so deep
right.
to me about it is these preachers, especially the one who was preaching this very sermon, where you
mm-hmm.
was 2 or 3 years ago, you shouldn't be there today. If you is something wrong, but you are here.
You
where
are
we
there.
Are 3 to 5 years ago, because the teaching that you're giving is not promoting growth. It's not
mm-hmm.
promoting, you know, because you want to keep your foot on the people on the people's neck, because you want to keep feeding them milk, because you want to keep you want to stay in control, because
well,
you can't teach control, but at
mm-hmm.
the same time teach freedom. You can't do it. You can't
mm-hmm.
do it.
Well, the thing is, a lot of people made that their job.
Yes.
So.
But what's so deep about that, though? Look, listen to this, though. But what's so
business.
Deep about that?
They're in that business.
Yeah, and so what's deep about it, though, is that
being in the kingdom business, but no, you made this your profession. As far as you wasn't, you know, even if you were called to it before, now you like Balaam have gone a different way.
But even with that, and true, because you're making it personal, because now you keeping it, because you keeping it to where you want to be, where you want to be, and not
mm-hmm.
where the Father wants to take it.
Absolutely.
But even with that, you looking at you holding these people down, holding them back. You always hear this. If you dig a grave for somebody,
mm-hmm. you
might as well dig two.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well go ahead and dig two. Because if
yep.
you digging a grave for someone, trust and believe, you're
mm-hmm.
digging one for you too.
Then it happened.
So you cannot do to somebody. You cannot act on something towards someone and
mm-hmm.
not think that it's not going to affect you. It's going
mm-hmm.
to affect you. I told my cousin one time, and this was prophetically before I even really realized what I had said. I told
mm-hmm.
her, I said, look, I know you do mischievous and devious things. I said, I know that you go around talking about me
mm-hmm.
and you setting up these different scenarios with people so that they won't like me or want to hang out with me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but trust and believe, you're planting seeds, honey.
Absolutely.
I said, but trust and believe, when it comes back on you, it's not going to be a seed. You thinking that, oh, I can handle getting back what I put out. But you're not going to get that. Because you're going to get a harvest. Yes. You're going to get a harvest. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I said, understand this. I said, think about just a kernel of corn. Mm-hmm. Think about a kernel of corn. You go and plant that seed of that corn.
Mm-hmm.
You go and plant that seed. I said, so when that one seed grows up, what do you think it's going to be? It's going to end up being a stalk. How many ears of corn is going to be on that stalk? Mm-hmm. And then you're looking at how many kernels are in each corn cob.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, honey, understand, you mm-hmm. are going to get a harvest. You're not getting back a seed that you planted. There's nowhere in history that you've heard of a seed being planted and you get a seed back. No.
That goes back to system. That goes back to what we started with. There's a system. You know? Everything is by the laws that define it.
So when they're intentionally pigeonholing you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say so bad, but I can't. You look at the ministry today.
Yeah.
You look at how things have unfolded to this day, and even all the struggles that it was going through, even while we're in, you know, passing through, going to check and see and saying hi, and you seeing how much struggle it was, because you have But the thing about it is that if you help people and you lift people up. What would you get from that? You know what I'm saying? Instead of you trying to be in control and you trying to pigeonhole and you trying to, you know, hold on to what little you got. But think about if you help people, if you build them up, if you help them get to meeting their dreams, to establishing themselves, to getting to know who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
If they were honoring you in this little space.
Right. When you were pigeonholing them.
Yes. What do you think they would do when you in a much bigger atmosphere? You know what I'm saying? And because when you send the people out, you they're gonna come back.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna come back with good reports.
Yep. Yep. That's a fact. Yeah, that dream was something else. Very indicative of where we are in the world.
That's on full.
Huh?
I said that's on full. I would
that's
say you know
full.
How? Yeah, mm-hmm. It's powerful. I would say powerful. Then I broke powerful down. It's like that's power on full.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like powerful.
Yeah, I like it.
Prophet
Vantina, what's your position on the dream?
I knew you. I already. I could hear it. I could hear it. I knew it. I'm next.
Yep.
It just goes back to what I said a couple of days ago about the body working together and not fighting itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of days ago when I was talking about the body and how it works together as a system.
That's right.
Body don't fight itself.
That's how you made that statement. That's how you know what the problem is.
If it's supposed to, you know.
Go back. Absolutely. That's how you know what's really a part of the body and what's not. Unless, like you said, there's some form of dis-ease. But if a thing is fighting, like, you know, when you get somebody else hurt, often there's a fight. If somebody go get, you know, a heart transplant.
I know she's
there's a fight often, a liver transplant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the body's like, what is this? You know? So, yeah, some things you'll identify if it belongs there or if it's a plastic part
foreign substance.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of what do they call a fake leg. I know what it's called. I just can't think of it right now. Just a artificial limb. A prosthetic was what I was trying to think of. Yeah. So there are all those factors in what you just said. But go ahead, I'm listening. I'm all done.
I'm getting ready to put my hands in something. So
Okay.
But that's what I had to say.
Yes, ma'am. That's good. That is good. This word was good today. And it was on time. You know, it's where we are. It's what he took us to. It relates to what he took us to for this season. So we just got to begin to identify and make sure that we're not folding our arms like, well, God prove it to me, you know? That's not waiting. He don't have nothing to prove. He's already done everything he said he was going to do. You need to realize what he's already done. That's why you're here.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
To realize what's already been put in place. And to understand that the reason why he sent his son was to do the job that Adam did not do. And now you were given instructions to carry on the work, you know, that other sons did not carry on. Just so amazing to me that wicked families passed down from generation to generation the same old crap. And for generation to generation, you know, we're dealing with dilution. You know, that's because people infiltrate and there's infiltration and we're not aware of those things because there's no discernment. But this is a new day. It's a new day, you know. It's a new day, and we are a whole nother breed of sons, you know. And it's funny because often, you know, sometimes that you can be too hard when you feel the way you feel about how people function. But you can't convince me that you a son and you abandon a place where it's no contention, it's no fighting. There's revelation. Who are you? You know what I'm saying? Mm. Who have not prayed for a place where they could come and be in fellowship without women being catty? Without no between people, where revelation and the word goes forth, understanding and clarity come, direction is given. Who don't want to be there as a son?
True.
Who don't want to be connected?
But if you right. Right, but like you said, you know, if you keep perpetuating, you know, that because I have to say that, let me be careful what I'm saying. There are times where people have, instigated and really enjoyed by the ego, enjoyed watching the cattiness of women, you know, go at each other.
Yes.
They pit women against each other by knowing that the immaturity level of them, of not knowing who they are, for one. For two, the competitiveness. And so they sit back and they watch. They use it as a weapon to get what they want for manipulation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's something that they begin to utilize as a tool, but not knowing again. You use that as a tool. That those are seeds that you planted. You're still getting that harvest back. You're still getting that back. So, I you're right, because I look at a thing of what it says to me is that whenever you in a place where you feel you got to be in competition with somebody else, there's still something lacking in you. Who you are, where you stand, because you don't have to be in competition with anyone, because there's only one you, only one unique you, and nobody else can beat you at being you, and you can't beat somebody else at being who they are.
That's right.
You can like what they like, you can like, you know, some of the things that they have, but every single thing about them you're not going to want and desire, because they're not you.
That's right.
So when we learn to really come into the place of learning and loving ourselves for who we are, like you said with the scripture yesterday, that we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We got to learn to love ourselves first.
That's
we got to learn to appreciate what the Father has given us and who we are, who he created us to be.
Yeah.
What do you really like? What do you like? What do you see? You know, what do you want? What do you desire? What inspires you? What inspires you? What music
yes.
do you like? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are all these things?
Who are
you?
You
know, yes, who are you? And so, and that was a chapter that I wrote in that book, like, you know, who are you? You got to
mm-hmm.
ask yourself all these different questions to get to know you. But if you don't never give yourself time
mm-hmm.
to spend with you, to get to listen to your thoughts, listen to what do you want, you know,
mm-hmm.
are you wanting this just because somebody else has it? Or are you
mm-hmm.
truly wanting it because the Father gave you a desire for it?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we got to ask ourselves these questions, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're taught to mimic. We're taught
mm-hmm.
to mimic.
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool for a time because
mm-hmm.
we learn that way.
That's governors, our teachers,
right.
our trainers, right.
Exactly. But at another space and time, the Father said, okay, that's enough mimicking. Now I want you to start acting originally. I'm going to put
mm-hmm.
something in you, that a desire in you that, you know, I want you to create.
Yeah.
And so here you
go.
You're
old enough to cook now.
yeah. Let me go and find something that somebody got that will feed that emptiness, but it ain't feeding it though.
Yeah.
It never feeds it. Because and this is so profound that the Father gave me the answer to this, because this is like, I had wrote a poem years ago, and it was
mm-hmm.
and it said, there's got to be more to life than what I see.
Yes.
Because when you're looking around, and I just like, nothing was like, you know, like nothing was drawing me. Nothing was like, oh, that's it, you know, or just didn't have that oomph for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand. Some 20-odd years later, I understand that what I was yearning for is about
mm-hmm.
what the Father is wanting me to create.
That's right.
He wants to create it through me. He doesn't want
yeah.
me to look for something that's outside of myself that's already there.
Yeah.
He wants to create a new thing. So
yeah.
when we have this deep emptiness,
yeah.
that's the Father calling to us to answer. That's the call.
Mm-hmm. That's the call,
to answer,
honey.
To sit down and commune with the Father so that he can give you what he wants you to create.
That's it. That's it.
Because that's what it's about now. The Father is still, he still has not changed. He has
mm-hmm.
not changed. He's a creator. So that means he still wants to continue to create through us. But
that's
we're
right.
not allowing it because why? Because we want to keep mimicking when he's
yep.
calling originality. We want to mimic.
Yeah.
Like, no.
My goodness.
Stop wanting what everybody else is, you know, saying this is popular. So now
yes.
everybody want to run around doing what's popular. No. What is the Father calling you to create that's new?
Yeah. Be original. Be originally you. Be originally
yes.
you and authentically you. We thank you
because
for being here with
can't
us.
Can't nobody
this
be like you.
Nobody. We thank you
no.
for being here with us this morning. We're going to be back Monday. We got to
yes.
get out of here in about 30 seconds.
All right.
We'll be here Monday. Shabbat shalom to everybody. We love you. The body is not a me thing. It's a we thing. Let's get back to our schedule on Monday. The dark psychology of the sin spies. We're going right back into our foundation. We'll just kind of build up until we get through that place that the Father's calling us to be. I love y'all. Peace to your house.
Peace. Love y'all.
Love you.